Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Pastors aren't perfect. It's a big shock, I'm sure, but you needed to know. We make mistakes sometimes. We might say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, forget to do something. Sometimes we drop full trays of communion wine in front of a whole church on Christmas Eve. Sometimes when we're preaching about Matthew 15, we mean to say the word scraps, but instead say the word crap. Not that either of us have ever done those things. I think one of the things that we pastors worry about most is getting names wrong. Whether it's just when we run into somebody in the grocery store, or whether it's doing a baptism, a wedding, or a funeral, we worry about getting names wrong. I once did a funeral for a woman I had never met. She had nothing to do with the church. The family didn't meet with me ahead of time, so I had no way of knowing that the deceased's last name was not pronounced anything like what it looked like. I said it wrong probably 3 times during the funeral, and I was rather briskly corrected after the service when it was too late to fix it, but just in time to make me feel horrible. 2 weeks ago, my nephew Jack was baptized at my sister and brother-in-law's church. Before the service, I helped my sister get Jack's squirmy little arms into the very intricate, multiple-layered Bauman family baptismal gown. He looked like a little angel. Later, at the church, my sister handed him off to Grandma Bauman, who had only ever seen him once before. And Grandma looked at her new grandson in his nearly century-old, ruffly gown and said, "Oh, she's so cute." And if that didn't cause baby Jack enough of an identity crisis, there was his actual baptism. The pastor began to pour the water over Jack's head. She said, "Jackson Michael Bauman, I baptize you in the name of the Father. Jason Michael, I baptize you in the name of the Son." I just cringed for her. She was so close. She got it right the first time. I don't know why she had to say it the second time. I once heard of a similar situation where the pastor got the baby's name completely wrong at baptism, and after that, the family decided they needed to change the baby's name to whatever the name the pastor mistakenly said. You can see why we worry about getting names wrong. Those are mistakes that aren't easily forgiven or forgotten. In our gospel today, we get another baptism story, but this time there's not a baby involved. An adult Jesus goes to the River Jordan seeking out his cousin, John the Baptizer. And just like thousands of people before him, Jesus was baptized by John in the river. But unlike thousands before him, something unique happened. The sky above opened up, literally was ripped apart, and the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus like a dove. And a voice came from the ripped heavens, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." We don't hear that there were crowds of people at Jesus' baptism, so it doesn't seem as if God is proclaiming Jesus as his beloved Son as a publicity stunt or to spread the word. In that moment, as Jesus is coming out of the water, God claims him. God shouts out, "You are mine, you are the Beloved, you are my Son, and I am delighted with you." Those words weren't intended for the whole Judean countryside. God spoke those words for Jesus to hear, to know that he was God's beloved Son. To know that he wasn't just dropped in this world alone. He had a Father who loved him and would walk with him through the mission that he was about to begin. For the previous 30 years, he had been known as just Jesus, but God added a new name that would define Jesus and his ministry forever: Jesus, Beloved Son of God. As Jesus began that ministry, he faced challenges. He was immediately thrown out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus, son of Joseph the carpenter, might have said, "Hey, that bread looks good. I'm really hungry. I'll have a bite." But Jesus remembered that he was Jesus, God's beloved Son, which gave him strength to resist that temptation. Throughout his ministry, people criticized Jesus for healing on the Sabbath, for hanging out with tax collectors and prostitutes. And a Jesus who was worried about being liked and popular probably would have said, "You're right, I'll try to be more like the rest of you." But Jesus knew that he was the beloved Son of God, which caused him to break boundaries, to work for justice, to reach out to those who weren't very lovable. And hanging on that cross that fateful Friday, Jesus felt the searing pain shooting through his arms and legs. He gasped for air like any other human would. Jesus, the suffering servant, could have cursed God. He could have called upon angels to get him down. But Jesus, Son of God, knew that he was part of something bigger, something more important than his temporary pain. Jesus, beloved Son of God, died to show just what lengths God would go to save his broken world. With every breath Jesus took in his life, he lived up to the name Son of God. Jesus knew he would change the world through that name. People would come to know God through him, through his identity as God's beloved Son. In baptism, as that water washes over us, whether our names are spoken correctly or not, we are given the name, Beloved Child of God. As God gives us that new name, he's promising that he hasn't just dropped us in this world to walk alone. Our new name assures us that God will walk with us all the days of our lives because we are his. In addition, the name Beloved Child of God isn't just an honorary title. It shows us and others not only who we are, but whose we are. We are God's children, not just in name, but in our whole lives. Now, while we can't resist temptations just like Jesus did, while we can't break boundaries just like Jesus did, while we probably will not die on a cross like Jesus did, we do look to Jesus as the model of our faith. From his baptism on, Jesus worked to live up to that name, knowing that people would come to him. And we're called to live up to our name, Child of God, because through us, people might just come to know God who gave us the name. This is the beginning of our stewardship focus this fall. Everything that we have is a gift from God, and it's our Christian calling to manage and to care for those gifts. We tend to think that stewardship only means how we manage our money. But this year, we're looking at how we can be good stewards of our whole lives, of God's creation, stewards of our blessings, even stewards of that name, Beloved Child of God. God speaks to people through other people like us. People learn about God and Jesus through people of faith like us. So as people who bear God's name, as people who are called Christian, we need to think about how to be good stewards of the name God has given us. There's a question going around the internet a while ago that got me thinking. The question was, if you were on trial for being a Christian, will they find enough evidence to convict you? There's a lot more to being Christian than just believing in Jesus. It's expected that our words and our actions reflect our faith. Can people who know us tell that we're Christian by how we speak and act? Although many of us were baptized years ago, before we can remember, the effects, the fruits of our baptism should live on every day. As children of God, we strive to love one another as God loved us. We show compassion to others. We serve those in need. We hunger for a deeper relationship with God. We seek out opportunities to grow in God's grace and to share it with others. We use God's gifts faithfully and share them generously. We certainly struggle along the way, but that's a part of being a child of God. That's what it means to be good stewards of our name, Child of God. to worship, to be generous, to serve, to love, to forgive, to struggle and be forgiven. That's our mission as stewards of God's name. You're a unique individual with your own name. You come with your own unique gifts and talents. You have special passions and interests, quirks and oddities, and they're all a part of you. God embraces you as you are. And in baptism, God washes away your sin, purifies your heart, and blesses you forever. In adding his own name to yours, God changes who you are and who you can become. I want to share a song with you that helps me to remember that.
I will change your name. You shall no longer be called wounded outcast, lonely or afraid. I will change your
whether your baptism was today or 90 years ago, God still claims you as his own. God changed your name from sinner to forgiven, from condemned to redeemed, from child to beloved child of God. You're claimed, you are named, you are saved, and you are sent out to show the world what that really means. Amen.